Imagine a world where there is no resurrection. Imagine a world where there is no hope of life after death. Imagine a world where there is no gospel, where there is no church. Imagine a world where there is no preaching of redemption, a world where there is no forgiveness of sin, a world where there is no salvation. How different the world would be if it were not for Christ and His coming and His sacrifice for our sins. The further a nation and the further a world is from the cross, the more wicked and desperate it becomes. Biblical faith changed the world. Biblical faith introduced a kindness that is only found in the God of the Scriptures. Biblical faith introduced a love that is unconditional and self-sacrificing. Biblical love expresses itself in compassion, in caring for the weaker among us. Biblical love is expressed in charity. And the further the world moves from the cross, the less love, the less charity, and the less forgiveness there is. Imagine a world where women are treated as second-class citizens, barely more than slaves. And yet that is the world that Christ was born in. We have watched the unfolding of the women's movement for 60 years in America. And the homes are failing. And marriages are struggling. And there is no joy and no happiness. That's the world without the resurrection. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And as you do so, I want to tell you the story of a man named Harry Houdini. You may know the name. He was the greatest escape artist of all time, perhaps even today. Harry Houdini was a proud man, and he often seemed to perform the impossible. They would lock him in a chest, and some way he found his way out. They would take that chest and put it in water, and somehow again, Harry Houdini would escape. It said that he laughed at locks. One time they locked him up in a maximum security prison, and Harry Houdini found his way out. They would sew him in canvas cloth, and Harry Houdini would emerge. In fact, so confident was Harry Houdini's faith in his ability to escape that he told his wife to light a candle under my picture. And when I'm dead, if I can come back, I will blow the candle out. For 10 years, she did exactly that, lighting the candle at night and getting up in the morning, and yet the candle was still burning. You see, of the things that Harry Houdini could escape, There was one thing that he could not, and that was the grip of death. If you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians 15, I this morning introduced in the morning hour some thoughts about the cross, and I want to wrap that up just briefly here this morning as soon as I turn this on. And some of the things to be considered this morning, that I believe that the greatest event in all human history is without a doubt the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Add to that the greatest news, that He is risen. One that had been crucified and all the world was looking on, His enemies, His family, His friends, His disciples, all gazed at the cross as He suffered and died. We also notice this thought, Matthew 28 and verse 5, and you can just stay in 1 Corinthians, I'll be there. The angel said to the women that came to His tomb expecting to be able to anoint His body for burial, and seeing the tomb open, they panicked, they were afraid. They were, in the words of the scripture, they were perplexed. And the angel said to them, "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." And then this wonderful news, Matthew 28 and verse 6, "He is not here, for He is risen as He said." As a pastor over the years, I have been to the graveside of many, many believers. It is often a time of sadness mixed with joy. For most who gather at the graveside are those who had faith in Christ, and they knew that that mother or that father or that son, that daughter that had died, shared that faith and that hope in a risen Savior. But I've also been to the gravesides of those who had no one come. Remember one occasion, the funeral home had no one else to perform a ceremony, and so I was asked, "Would you come and do it?" And I did. I didn't know what to expect, but it was me and the funeral home director, and no one else came. I knew nothing about the person who was dead. But I knew this, as that body was lowered into the grave, it would not emerge again unless that was a believer who had the hope of the resurrection. Now, the Bible does say that the dead will rise, and believers will be raised from the dead. And the Bible says, and to be forever with the Lord. But those who do not know Christ as Savior will go out into eternity, where they'll stand before the judgment of God. The Bible says in Revelation that the books will be open, and every man, every woman, every boy, every girl will be judged by the things written in that book, and whose name is not written in the book of life will hear the words, "Depart from me." It's the greatest news. It's the greatest hope. But there's also the greatest commission. It's interesting that as soon as the resurrection was announced, it was immediately followed by a commission. And that commission is found in Matthew chapter 28. And it's this: "Go quickly, tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead." Do you have trouble keeping good news to yourself? When I buy my wife a gift, whatever might be, birthday gift, whatever, and I buy it, and I have it 2 weeks or 3 weeks in advance, I don't think I've ever kept it to myself. I had to tell her. First of all, she senses, "You've done something. What have you done?" Right? And so, but I have, when it's a great gift, I have trouble keeping it. I want to give it. That was the gift that the women who came to the empty tomb received. Go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. And so that was the earnestness of the commission. It was great news. But then there were the essentials of the commission. And it is this, the proclamation, he is risen from the dead. But there was also with that the promise. Go. Tell his disciples, not only is he risen, but he is also going to meet you in Galilee, and there ye shall see him. So there was the earnestness of it, but then there was the enthusiastic response of the women when they had the good news. And it is this, they departed quickly, and we read with fear and great joy. And the Bible says, and they did run to bring his disciples word. Word of what? Word that the tomb is empty. Word that they had seen an angel and he, Christ, is risen. And then there was the greatest privilege. As the women were running to tell his disciples, they actually met in the way none other than Jesus Christ himself. I put on my outline here for you. Jesus convened with the women and we read they worshiped him. Just the words, all hail, rejoiced their hearts. And the Bible says, and they fell at his feet and they worshiped him. When the choir was singing, And Can It Be, and they were going to the chorus, Amazing Love, I couldn't sit any longer. It was either go to my knees or stand and worship the Lord. The great news. Would you also consider that Jesus comforted and he encouraged the women to finish their mission? Do you realize if you are here this morning as a believer that you have the same commissioning that those ladies had that first resurrection Sunday? And it is to tell others he is risen. He has paid the penalty of your sins. You don't need to go into eternity fearing God's judgment if you put your faith and trust in his provision. None other than the very sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. And so we read in Matthew 28 and 10, be not afraid, go tell my brethren. And we know that they rushed and they did so. I wanted to focus just for a moment on the word brethren. Have you ever done something and you had trouble forgiving yourself for what you did? Maybe something that you said. And if you could get the words back, you would take them back. Something you did, and maybe you've been carrying the regret of that action or that decision your whole life. Can you imagine betraying Jesus Christ, denying him? Three times Peter had said, I don't know him. I'm not one of his. In fact, the third time, the Bible tells us he even cursed in his denial of Jesus Christ and that he was a disciple. And yet here we have the Lord telling these women that have received the news that he's resurrected. And he says, go and tell my brethren. Maybe you have an enemy in your life and someone that you struggle with calling a brother or a sister. Someone that has wounded you and hurt you deeply. Well, Christ, raised from the dead, reaches out to the very ones that had stood far from the cross, having nothing to do with him in that moment of grief. And then we read these words, Mark chapter 16 and verse 7. go your way to these same women. Tell his disciples and what? And Peter. I'm sure Peter was fearful when he heard the news, he's risen. He may have had conflict and emotions unlike anyone else did, because he knew three times he had denied him. In fact, the Bible says that when Christ was being judged and being condemned, that he turned and he looked at Peter, who was standing at a fire outside. And the Bible says, and Peter went out and he wept bitterly. You are here this morning. Can I encourage your heart? Maybe you are someone that is a believer, genuinely. Years ago, you can know, you can name a time and a place that you accepted Christ as Savior. But now you know that you're not where you should be. The same Savior that said of Peter, "Tell my brethren," is the same one that offers you forgiveness and restoration. Are you far from the cross? Isn't it time to come home? And then I wanted to give you just quickly three theological consequences if Christ is not risen. Would you consider with me, first of all, if Christ is not risen from the grave, from the dead, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14, if he's not risen, then is our preaching vain. It's futile. It is a waste of time. That without Christ being risen from the grave, a preacher has absolutely nothing to offer you in the way of hope. But another thought that goes with that is that a believer's faith in Christ is vain if Christ is not risen. And so we read again 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then not only is our preaching vain, but our faith is also vain." Imagine putting your faith in something only to find that it was all a lie. It was all a sham. You've been hoodwinked spiritually. You've gone throughout life only to find that Christ is not risen. In fact, if that were true, some of you would say, "I want a refund on all my offerings that I put in the offering plate over these years. If the preaching is vain and my faith is vain, I want a refund." Another thought that goes with that also is that every witness for Christ is a liar. Not only is, if Christ is not risen, not only is the preaching in vain, and the faith is in vain, but all those missionaries that we send around the world, well, that's a waste of time and a waste of money too. So I want another refund if Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, every individual that you've ever witnessed to and shared about your faith and your hope in Christ and forgiveness of your sins, well, then it's all been in vain. But then there's also this thought. We are then found false witnesses. In fact, the verse reads, "Because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." You see, if Christ is not risen from the grave, then every loved one I've ever buried has no hope, and they will never see life. If Christ is not raised from the dead, every wife and every husband that has been buried will simply have to accept, "Well, that was it. It was a good life, but it's all a waste of time." If Christ is not risen. Then consider with me, though, also the three personal consequences if Christ is not risen. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel has changed and transformed the world. And the closer that the world is to the cross and understanding that Christ was sacrificed for our sins, the closer we are to our understanding of who our God is. For He is loving and He is forgiving. But if Christ is not risen, then all is in vain. Let me share with you three thoughts and I'll close. The first is this: if Christ is not risen, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl is a hopeless slave to sin. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 16, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins." Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this room is a sinner. For the Bible says there's not righteous, no, not one, and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we're born with the same problem spiritually, and that problem is sin. We sin not because we want to set out to sin. We sin because it's our nature to sin. And indeed, if Christ is not risen, we're slaves to sin. A second thought that goes with that is that every saint who died in Christ is eternally lost. In my office upstairs, I have two folders about that thick, and they are all funeral messages that I have preached in my 39 years at Hillsdale. I look back in them and I see the names of people I love dearly. And they're with the Lord now. If Christ is risen. You see, everything that we believe, every hope that we have, is founded upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, if Christ is not risen, Adam and Eve are forever hopelessly lost and damned. David, who passionately loved the Lord and wonderfully wrote of not only the Lord, but also the prophecies of Christ's sacrifice, well, David is lost. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, they're all lost if there is no resurrection. And then thirdly, a thought that goes, well, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18, they which also are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And perished in the sense of not just dead, but eternally dead and lost. And then thirdly, we, above all people who have put our faith and trust in Christ, are to be pitied if Christ is not risen from the dead. Here's a couple of verses that go with that. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Imagine going through your whole life and maybe you live to 50 or 60 or 70, 80, 90, maybe even 100 years of age. And then you find out at the very end that Christ is not risen. What kind of life is that? Looking back with regret, what hope is there if Christ is not risen? But then I want to close with this thought, and it is this. Would you say it with me? But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. There's a unique word throughout the scriptures regarding the death of believers. The death of a believer is described as sleep. You see, if Christ is risen from the dead, as He said, then those who die in Christ merely go to sleep. I'll put it to you in another way. When I was growing up, my mom would put us to bed at night. And we would pray our prayer, maybe something like you might have with your children. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And then my mom would give us a kiss on the forehead, and she would say, good night. She didn't say goodbye. Good night. Because I would see her, surely, in the morning. Many of you in this audience and those listening online have had times where you had to say goodbye. That's a heart-wrenching moment, isn't it? And sending a child off to college and they're not going to wake up the next day in their little bed and bedroom. They're gone. They've moved away. And so you give them the hug and you say goodbye. And your heart tears as it's torn apart by a departure. But there's a greater sorrow than that. And that is to kiss a loved one goodbye who is going out into eternity. For the believer, it is a kiss of goodnight. But for the lost, it truly is a kiss that says goodbye. But now is Christ risen. You said, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, I know it because of the testimony of the Word. But can I also be transparent with you? I know it because His witness is within my soul. So I serve a risen Savior, and He's in the world today. He lives, He lives, He lives. Harry Houdini went out into eternity promising his wife, if I can escape the grave, I'll blow out the candle. And 10 years later, Harry Houdini's wife gets up and she blows out the candle. For Harry Houdini was lost and dead. My friend, there's a day that your candle will burn to the end. And the next step after that is not annihilation, but it is eternity. For those who die in Christ, we have the promise of our sins being forgiven because of all that God has done for us through the sacrifice of His Son on the cross of Calvary. But if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, would you understand that this plan of redemption is one that demands death? The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. I'm so glad that verse doesn't end there, because it goes on and it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? I certainly appreciate you being here for this Resurrection Sunday. It's blessed my heart. But I want to invite you now as I close, and before the choir comes up again, to ponder in the quietness of this moment if Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you were to die today, and this would be the goodbye of your life and eternity, where would you spend eternity? Would it be with Jesus Christ, who has paid for the penalty of your sins? Or would it be to go out into eternity lost, and knowing that the judgment of God is waiting? Two choices: to receive Christ and be forgiven of your sins and promised eternal life, or to reject Christ and to know that the wages of your sin will be death. How many of you this morning would say, "Pastor, I know in my heart that Jesus Christ is my Savior and that He is risen as He said"? How many could say that with an upraised hand? Not going to embarrass anybody, I promise you. But you could say this morning, "Pastor, I'm confident that Christ is my Savior. I believe He died for my sins." Wow, many of you all across the auditorium. But let me ask you, if you were sincere before God and you didn't raise your hand because you know it would have been a lie, and God will know who tells the truth and who denies Him. But is there somebody here this morning that would right there say, "I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that God did sacrifice His Son for my sins. And this morning, on this Resurrection Sunday, I'm accepting Him as my Savior." If you could say that this morning, you've made that decision, would you just slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. But say, "Pastor, by my upraised hand, I ask you to pray for me. I made the decision this morning to accept Christ as Savior." Would you raise your hand right now and just say, "Pastor, I made that decision today"? Anyone?